want to do part two of that accountability preach that I started a few weeks ago, and I couldn't finish it because I only got through my intro. So 2 weeks ago, you can go listen to it if you want. I can't rehash everything, but the gist of what I started speaking about is just defining what accountability is, really, versus policing. And so sometimes when people come into churches, they feel like they're being policed. They feel like people are breathing down their necks all the time. They're trying to make them conform to be something they're not. And that's not the heart of our congregation and the heart of Josh Jen. The heart of Josh Jen and our congregation is that we are accountable in a biblical way so that we can grow and become more like Christ daily. And so we need him and we need each other. And so remind us of what accountability is. Accountability is this. It is the responsibility to answer for one's actions. Okay, so we all act. We all do things, make decisions. There are either good outcomes to those actions and those decisions, or there's bad actions and to those decisions. So accountability is us taking responsibility for our own actions, our own decisions, the way we steward our lives and our hearts before God, first of all, and then to each other. And so accountability is, if I make a good decision, God, thank you for leading by my wisdom, and thank you that there's good things that come out of it. Bad decisions, they suck sometimes. You make a bad decision. Who's made a bad decision lately? And then you're like, afterwards. Again, it's like, no. And you know, like, I get into trouble a lot because Abby is amazing. She's an amazing wife. But sometimes I buy things without telling her. And I've really tried to be good at that. And then this month, I thought I did really well. So far, and then I didn't. It's actually the shoes. I bought these shoes. And she didn't know about the cruise. And then I thought they were going to come like 5 days' time. So that means that she'll be at school. So you see how sneaky I was planning it out so bad. And then they came the next day, and I wasn't at home. And then I had to phone her and say, babes, the van store is going to drop off some shoes. I'm in trouble, you know. And so, bad decision. But I'm joking. And why are you laughing so loud? It's terrible. And so, I got into trouble again. Because Abby loves me too, you know. And so, jokingly, but there are decisions we make that really hurt us, that really steal from what God wants for us, you know. And so, accountability is taking responsibility. And I'm seeing a lot of people blaming other people, or blaming me, or blaming the leaders, or blaming their wife or their husband, or blaming their boss. At the end of the day, no one can actually make you do anything you don't want to do. You do what you want to do because you want to do it. And then we moan and we groan and we leave church and we leave our families and we leave our friends behind because we're not happy with the outcome. But at the end of the day, if you're really honest with yourselves, and I'm honest with myself, if I'm making good decisions, we're going to have victory. If we're making bad decisions, we're going to go through pain. And so I just wanted to remind us of that. And again, firstly to the Lord, we're accountable to God first before anyone else. If we can't win this, we're not going to win this. And so that's kind of what I said. And the reason why I said that is, the reason why accountability is so important is this, that accountability on earth sets us up that when we see Jesus face to face one day, because we've come through and we've been accountable and we've learned our lessons and we've made good choices, that when we're accountable to him face to face, because the word of God is, I used the scripture last time, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Christ. And every single one of us, young and old, black or white, colored, man, woman, bald, lots of sexy hair, we all, yeah, not to you, that was prophetic. And every single one, I'm so naughty, I'm so sorry, I must behave myself tonight. We're all going to bow. We're all going to be held accountable. And if we get accountability right on earth, I believe with all my heart, we're going to get it right then. So it's God's mercy in us, today. It's his mercy. It's his grace. It's his favor that when we get accountability right his way on earth, man, when we stand before him, boldness. I know I'm right. I know I've won the battles. I know I've overcome. I know because God has allowed me to work this out with him and with each other. That's an amazing thing. And so, tonight, I want to talk about inward, then outward. So that's kind of the theme of tonight. So inward and then outward. And so what happens is, because we're all busy and we want things done now, we live in an instant world. We want people to be fixed overnight. Who's ever fallen into that? Who's ever got like, maybe I shouldn't be too open because you guys might not like me afterwards. But there's been moments where, even as a pastor, I'm like, I really don't like those people. I know it's terrible. I'm sorry. I'm like, why can't they just sort themselves out? Is it just me? Or is it like, are there others that I'd like be really honest? And it's terrible. I know, it's terrible. It's not the right heart. And what we do is we try shortchange, we try shortcut the process. And when we shortcut the process, what happens is we kind of put stuff on people that isn't God, actually. We try and make them conform in a physical way. So what I'm trying to say is we try to change their behavior, and that's not what accountability should be. That's policing, remember. People can be very good at putting on masks. Very good at putting on masks. You can come here and say the right things, wear the right clothes, act the right way, and you can trick us to think that you are walking with the Lord and your family is amazing and your work situation is amazing, but it's just a mask. It's like an Instagram thing, you know, like those Instagrammers. They take the most hideous photo, they put some filters on, and they post it, and everyone's like, wow, 3 million views. But if you look at the real photo, it's just a normal photo, like all of us can take. And so accountability is not about necessarily outward thing first. It's about what happens on the inside that eventually will change the outside. Does that make sense? And this is a trick. This is tricky when we're parents. We're like parents with kids. It's tricky. I don't want my kids to do what they think I want them to do so they can get away with not actually changing. Kids do that very well. They will mimic and say the right things and pretend to do the right things. And then parents can fall into the trap of like, hey, my kids are actually doing well, but they're not doing well. They're jumping through the hoops. See, that's not accountability. That's something else. And so accountability, when we take responsibility for our actions before God first, it's actually going, I don't actually care what I look like on the outside. I'm going to look like a fool. I'm going to look like I'm messing up a lot. I'm going to probably not be the most eloquent. People might not like me. But I actually don't care about that stuff. What I care about is the change of my heart. And as I change my heart, I actually become really attractive because people will look at, like people look at me and go, oh, you're a bit of a dodgy guy. You shouldn't be a pastor. But sometimes when they get to know me, sometimes they get to know me and they're like, actually, you're not that bad. You're actually quite a cool guy. I'm like, oh, thank you. I'll take it. You know what I mean? Like, well, I'm not the only one laughing. Thanks for laughing, Kobe. That was amazing, man. It's like, at least we're laughing. You know what I'm saying? And there's something that's attractive with a person with a really good heart. Like, that's actions are genuine. And so I want to read two stories quickly about this, maybe three scriptures, and then we'll maybe start ending. So 1 Samuel 16:7. So good luck in following my notes because I'm trying to follow my own notes. The Lord says this, 1 Samuel 16:7. But the Lord said to Samuel, and remember, this is where God is choosing a new king to lead his people. Saul has just messed up really badly. He's lost the favor of the Lord. There's demonic influence over him. He's not doing well. He did the sacrifice which he shouldn't have. And the Lord says to Samuel, do not consider his appearance nor his height. So remember, Saul was a head taller than everyone else, heads and shoulders taller than David wasn't. He was a shorter, ruddy, red-haired guy who was crazy. Crazy in a good way. Because I have rejected him, speaking about Saul. For the Lord sees not what man sees. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Oh. So get the thing inward, then outward. God's not looking at the way you dress. He's not looking at the watch that you're wearing or the cool Vans that I bought without telling my wife. He's not looking at the car that you drive. He doesn't care about those things. What is he looking at? Inside. He's looking at the heart. Because remember, the heart is the most deceitful thing of all. And his word in Isaiah, we read it, I think, in Morsi, you had one of the words. Where's Morsi gone? He was there, and then you, oh, there. He'll give us a new heart, change the heart of stone into a heart of flesh. So God's not looking on the outer appearance. We look on the outer appearance and we judge people about what they look or what they drive or where they live or what they eat or whatever. God doesn't care. And that should give us hope as we want him to be accountable to him and each other. It's like, who cares what we look like? Who cares if the pastor wears a cap and preaches with a cap? I was a little bit stressed out this weekend because I was part of the youth leadership thing, and there was a whole set of rules and of what not to wear and what not to say, and I made a mistake. I read them. I saw it. Don't wear black shirts. I wanted to wear a black shirt. Don't wear caps. I didn't wear a cap. I wear a beanie, though. I got around that one. I was so stressed. I even went and bought another t-shirt because I was so stressed. I didn't have any white shirts. I was like, what do I wear? I don't know what I wear. And I realized eventually, I'm like, I'm riling myself up. What am I riling myself up about? Abby just shook her head, shame. Abby goes, shame, babes. I love you. Thank you for being patient with me. And God was like, I don't actually care what you wear, what you think. And then, like, something cool happened. So I was, secretively, I didn't really want to preach, to be totally honest with you, because I was tired and I was stressed because I didn't have the right clothes. And it was so amazing there. And then worship was amazing and the testimonies were amazing. And then it was going longer. And I thought to myself, I'm not going to preach today. And I started getting happy. And then the Lord says, no, you need to throw the net out. People aren't saved here. Not everyone's saved here. And I was like, surely not. Like, you're joking with me. Like, I honestly said that. I'm worshiping at the back because I was trying to escape. And he's like, no, they're youth leaders, God. Like from around the world. Like this is an international youth conference. Well, I spat, but I didn't get you this time. That's amazing. Sorry. Sorry about that. I'm staying away from people. And the worship went for like 30 minutes, maybe 40 minutes, and I was like, I don't want to do it. Like, this is crazy. And then it's like, good. And so I went up and I said, look, guys, I think we need to throw the net out. I know it's a bit of a strange thing. But like, not everyone's saved here. Not everyone has given their lives to Jesus. Like, not, like, they're youth leading. They're actually doing things in the church. They look like they know what they're doing. They're leading people. They're probably giving good wisdom. They're leading worship teams. But some of the guys are not saved. They don't know Jesus personally. And Luke Watson, he's like, we did that on night one. I was like, but can we do it again, please? And then he goes, cool. And I stand up and I'm panicking now again. Because I'm like, guys, I think we're going to throw the net out now. Like, not everyone is saved yet. And this is big. Like, because, like, it's a, like, everyone's, like, looking at you now. There's, like, 400 people there from around the world. And, like, maybe six, seven, eight, something like that. I don't know Jesus. Like, ladies, guys. And that was the beginning of the end. I didn't get to preach because then God just started moving and guys got saved and then ministry started happening and prayer, and it's just a move of the Spirit of God. And you know what happened in that moment? It wasn't about what people look like or what they've done or the wisdom that they think they have. It was God was doing heart surgery on the leaders, like some of the leaders who for the first time met Jesus, not in a religious sense, but in a relationship sense. That blew my mind. Blew my mind. And that made preaching worth it. Not preaching worth it 100%. Wow. It's just like God did the heart thing and not the outward focused thing. And I really believe he wants to do that with us tonight, again. And so God doesn't look at you on the outside. He looks at you on the inside. Only you know what's in there. Some of us that are prophetic might be able to see some things, but you know. If you're close to him, or if you're far from him, or if you despise him, or if you love him, or if you for him, or if you're not, God knows, he sees. And he wants your heart. He does. He wants your heart. He died for your heart. He died so that you can have a right standing with him, accountable, fully, like free, and then with each other. So let's look at two pictures quickly. Zacchaeus. Who knows about Zacchaeus? For those who might not know, he's a really short guy. Sorry? Who said what? What did you say? Come on. Come on, you wee little man. So Zacchaeus. It is a song. It is. Let me just read it. Luke 19, verses 1 to 10. Jesus entered through Jericho and was passing through, and a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. This is interesting. And tax collectors in those days were hated by the Jews because what they were doing is they would take Jewish money and then give it to the Romans. And they would overtax them and they would make up laws and stuff just to get money from the Jews to give to the enemies. So that's why the people hated them. And he was the chief tax collector. He wasn't just a little, he was the guy. He was the main man. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, so I mean, picture this, like, how does this work? Like, there's a short guy who's ripping off God's people. He climbs a tree, and Jesus is doing his thing, and he's going to where he's going, and then he just stops at the very place where Zacchaeus is up a tree. I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me, right? And he says something profound to him. He says, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. So he knew his name. Interesting. I must stay at your house today. Isn't that weird? Like Jesus, the redeemer of our souls, the one who will die and be raised again on the third day, conquering death, taking the keys of Hades, stops to talk to Zacchaeus. That's crazy. Anyways, so he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter. Look at the policing happening here. He has gone to the guest of a sinner. So all God's people are going, how can Jesus go to that guy's house? Because he's a sinner. It's crazy. It's a crazy story. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Now, this is the scariest part of the scripture for me. And then Jesus said to him, salvation has come to this house because this man too is the son of Abraham. The son of man came to seek and to save the lost. What has just happened here, guys? He gives away money, and Jesus saves his soul. What is that? He didn't put up his hand in church. He didn't say, do the believer's prayer. He didn't repent of it. What is this? When I read this stuff, I was like, what is going on here? How can someone get saved by giving money away? Think about it. Like, and then it dawned on me, it's not about the money. It's not about the cheating. It's not about the physical stuff. It's about the change of heart that was opposed to God's kingdom, and now it's God's kingdom. It was selfish, and now it was unselfish. It has to start from the inside. I can preach for 10 years in this congregation, my heart out, I can cry, I can scream, I can stand on my head. If it doesn't change the heart, I'm wasting 10 years of my life. And I'm wasting 10 years of your life. And you know what the scary thing is? Only God can change your heart. I can't. Oh, that's cool. Come on, that's a cool story, hey. God wants to do that to us again tonight. Like, heart change every day. Every day. I believe that. I need it every day. My goodness, otherwise I'd just be so bad. Second story, and then I'll close. How long have we been going? 20 minutes, not too bad. In John, I don't have this in my notes, sorry, but my bad. This was the last moment. Can you get John 4, 39 to 42 for me, please? Thank you, kind sir. And so just as he's finding that, so the story is this. You guys know the story of the lady at the well? So Jesus went to Samaria. Samaritans and Jews don't like each other. Men shouldn't be speaking to women, especially a Jewish rabbi to a Samaritan woman. Some big things happening there in itself. And he starts speaking to her, engaging. And he's like, hey, so who's your husband? Yeah, I don't have a husband. Yes, you don't have a husband, but you've had five or six other husbands. I should have maybe read the story more. Anyways, it was a last moment. And he's like, whoa, how do you know that? You must be the Messiah. There's something about you that's different. And he talks about living water. And if you drink the water that I give you, you'll never thirst again. And she's like, I want that. And he's talking about the spiritual, and he's talking about life and heaven with them. And she gets it. Something happens in her. Like, there's a change from the inside, and it comes out. And it comes out in this way, in verses 39. And so many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him, Jesus, because of the woman's testimony. So the point I want to make is this. I love Jesus, and I'm going for him. 100%, I'm running. I'm not going to slow down for you to catch up with me. I can't, because we will never go anywhere. So I'm running. You got to come run with me. Okay? You could be encouraged and full of faith because of my faith. You know that. Not my faith, but like our faith as a... You can worship your heart out because the worship team's done a really good job and they've really worked hard to find Jesus and they're leading us into his presence. That might not be you doing that. That might be the collective. Have you ever thought of that? And we see that happening in the scripture, actually. Many Samaritans from that town believed because of her testimony. So they were going to see Jesus because of what she was saying. They hadn't yet got that thing in their hearts. And you might go, what do you mean? Let's keep on reading. And she said, he told me everything I ever did. And so when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more believed. Listen to what they say right at the end of this. This is profound, and this is where I want to kind of start going into worship so that God can do something in our hearts tonight. They said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you have said. We now have heard for ourselves. And we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. Oh. We are called to be a people that are accountable to him and to each other. But it won't work unless it starts here. Yeah. You do that so well every time. And so, could I ask us just to spend a few moments, just like, I would love every single one of us to get to the point tonight where we go, we no longer believe because of what other people have said, or because Brett preached the preach one day, or because the worship was amazing, or because... Can we get to the point where we go, God, I believe in you because my heart believes in you for myself. Not because of what others have done or said, because I want to have a heart connection with you. And so I'm going to pray for us quickly, and then we'll see how the worship thing goes. We'll see. But if you are here tonight and you're far from him, please, can I beg you with all my heart, this is not to condemn anyone. Speaking like this is not to condemn you, to make you feel worse, or to make you want to run away from God. It's just, hey, this is who we are. This is our hearts. We all struggle from time to time. He is big enough to redeem you. And so if you're far from him, open your heart to him tonight. If you don't know him, as Lord and Savior. I don't know everyone here. When Jesus walked this earth, he said, believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that he is the Christ, that he came to die and he rose again. If you do that, salvation comes to you. It's simple. It's a free gift. And so as we worship, you might not have the right words. If you want to pray with someone, you're welcome to come. Myself, Donnie, Marco's at the back. But you can just go, Jesus, something is shifting in me. There's something happening. I believe in you. Do it. If you miff towards God or someone else, ask them to open your heart, man. If you're struggling, the struggle is real. We all struggle. It's just, are you struggling with God on your side or without him? He tends to make it a little easier sometimes. Whatever it is, could we just spend a few moments? Just God, it's about him. We're not here because of me or them or you. We are here for you, but we're here for him first. And so, Father God, I want to thank you for your word. Thank you that you don't look on the outside, you look on the inside. Thank you that you knew before the foundations of this earth that we would be sitting here tonight. That you want to move and work in us, that you want to encourage us and build us up. Lord, you want to, I believe with everything in my heart, Lord, you want to ignite our hearts again for you. You want us to stand bold in your presence because we know we're accountable to you. And that our decisions for our own lives and our families and this congregation are just and righteous. And so, Lord, I want to ask that you, Holy Spirit, come right now. And as we sing and worship and maybe just ponder upon your scriptures that we've read tonight, can we be like the Zacchaeus? And can we be like the lady at the well who you change us from the inside out? May you soften our hearts, God. Lord, your word says that you resist the proud, but give grace to the humble, Lord. We want to humble ourselves before you tonight, longing for you. Just have your way, God. Build us up tonight. Set us free from those things that are not of you.